Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HBR1. And of course, this is where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum. And on today's show, we have Mele James. She's the president of the Hawaii Venture Capital Association, HVCA. And we also have Alicia Flores. She's a CEO of L&L Hawaiian Barbecue. And Jason Brand, co-founder of Kohana Rum. And we're all here talking about the Hawaii Venture Capital Association Entrepreneur Awards, which are coming up pretty soon. So I want to welcome you all to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so Mele, you know, how many years has the Entrepreneur Awards been going on?
Well, HVCA was launched in 1988, well before I was even born. the Hawaii Entrepreneur Awards, we've been hosting for 26 years. Our first one was back in 2000, so it's been just an incredible 26 years of featuring great successes, entrepreneurs, folks that are supporting the innovation ecosystem, and all of it in between. 26 years.
And, you know, our listeners will probably know Mele because of Mana Up and all the things you do with all the companies that are part of your cohort. But you're also the president of this, you know, Hawaii Venture Capital Association. And, you know, you do this annual event and it's great. Now, the annual event features, you know, entrepreneurs of startups and, you know, sort of social impact and corporate. And you got some pretty good announcements to make on Bite Marks Cafe. So why don't you kind of whet our listeners' appetite for, you know, what to expect with the Entrepreneur Awards?
Yes, so we've got 13 categories, anywhere from tech entrepreneur, entrepreneur of the year, so we're excited to have Jason here, as well as island innovator, so solving island challenges in our own backyard that have global ambition. Entrepreneur of the Year. So thank you, Alicia, for being on. But we've got just some really incredible categories, and we're highlighting the successes of last year. A lot of this is around awareness so that folks in our community can see how awesome it is for startups and small businesses thriving, and there's just a lot of excitement and momentum happening. It's a really wonderful way, like a quick snap of 13 different categories. I think we're featuring about 20 different entrepreneurs and folks in the space. It's really exciting.
Well, you know, I want to give a little bit of props to both Alicia and Jason. Mele said 13 awards. You both have been awarded, and Jason, you're Entrepreneur of the Year. Congratulations. And Alicia is Corporate Entrepreneur. So we'll get into a little bit about what exactly that means, because I think it deserves some kind of like a explanation. But I think that's, you know, the fact that you folks have won, and it was a pretty competitive crowd that you had to win amongst. And I think, you know, giving you guys appropriate recognition for those awards is due. Now, we're sort of like sharing this on Hawaii Public Radio, but there will be a little bit of, I think, good writing and more depth into what your companies actually do, maybe coming out with Hawaii Business. So Mele, that's kind of like a whole string of kind of marketing that's going to come out for HVCA, the Entrepreneur Awards, as well as the companies.
Yes. And these two awards that we're announcing today, for the first time, folks are learning about two of our big winners. Many will be announced in the next couple of weeks, and of course at the awards event itself. But yeah, these are two massive awards for us. Entrepreneur of the Year is a big deal, and Corporate Entrepreneur of the Year is a big deal as well. It's exciting with Hawaii Business Magazine partnering with us for another year, and really creating these, you know, video interviews and other ways that we are really helping to get the word out around all the great things happening and these specific stories and specific founders, CEOs that are doing great work here in the state.
And so, Mele, you mentioned Alicia from L&L. She got, you know, Corporate Entrepreneur. So, Alicia, you wanna explain what is your definition of entrepreneur?
My definition, great. I can give my definition for sure.
Yeah.
You know, when I received this award, I was, one, very honored, you know, and also I love this title. LNL is a company that was founded by two entrepreneurs. My dad was one of the co-founders. And we're a very entrepreneurial company, but at our size, and we have 230 locations now, you know, I never called myself an entrepreneur, but I can say our company truly, in our bones and our blood, has entrepreneurship. One, because of our founders. Two, because our franchisees are all entrepreneurs. So when I heard about this award, entrepreneur, I love it because it is, you know, to me, someone who's in a large company, but has the mindset and runs her company like an entrepreneur, with innovation, with problem solving, with limited resources, but someone who's always thinking ahead and trying to move fast.
Now, I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about what some of those innovations look like inside the company, but I want to give Jason a chance to share a little bit about his thoughts on the Entrepreneur of the Year Award.
Sure, thanks. And I mean, in reality, it's very humbling. When you get involved in entrepreneurial activities, it's really for the passion of the project, for the challenge of building businesses, as Alicia mentioned, really fighting through the challenges in order to keep businesses on momentum, on track, and ultimately to success until you can either run it forever or, you know, find whatever the exit strategy is. So it's quite exciting, but it's humbling when you actually get recognized for it because it's not why you do it. So for me, you know, thank you to HVCA and everybody because it's nice to be recognized. And it just gives you that extra spark to keep going, right? It's just one more reason to kind of drive something home. For me, the passion of all my projects really is about job creation and doing things right for the community I live in. You know, and that's what Kohana Rum and Nalo Farms are all about. So it's you know, really being part of the community, making sure these two businesses are super successful because there's a lot of people counting on them for their employment, for their enjoyment, you know, and just for another model or role model company for other entrepreneurs to emulate.
Now, Jason, I was waiting for you to say, or I expected you to say that, you know, you got the award because you were part of the Mana Up cohort, like number one, right?
Yeah, it's actually, so I'm a Meli trained entrepreneur.
yeah.
Oh my God.
a Mana Up trained entrepreneur, which just to plug that, you know, what a great program to help smaller companies really accelerate and learn the proper discipline, focus, tools and techniques in order to become from small to big. You know, there was a time, I'd say not long ago, although it was over a decade now, where it was me and one of my business partners, you know, in my backyard, I'll laugh and say we were bootlegging and moonshining, trying to figure out how to start Kohana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we're one of the, you know, we are the largest grower of sugarcane and have the biggest capacity to make rum in the state. So it's quite exciting in terms of, I kind of call it from the garage to the department store. You know, you've gone really big.
Well, you know, I do want to talk to you a little, you know, about what it takes to actually make rum in Hawaii. So I want to kind of save that. And I do want to get back to Alicia and talk about what kind of innovations she helped to basically get started at LNL that sort of took off and gained some traction. So I want to hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Meli James, president of HVCA, and Alicia Flores, CEO of LNL, and Jason Brand, co-founder of Kohana Rum. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ulupono Initiative and Ruby Tuesday Hawaii.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Meli James. She's like a regular on this show. She's the president of Hawaii Venture Capital Association, and we've also got Alicia Flores, CEO of LNL Hawaiian Barbecue, and Jason Brand, co-founder of Kohana Rum. And, of course, we're all here talking about the upcoming HVCA Entrepreneur Awards. Now, you know, right before the break, Alicia, I was kind of teasing out a little bit about what it means to be an intrapreneur. And I think you did a good explanation about how a lot of those kind of characteristics of an entrepreneur for a startup may be focused around, you know, getting the startup up and running. But when you're in a company, and I think you mentioned that the LNL has been around for, what, 75 years?
Right.
What kinds of sort of innovations would you consider, you know, you had to put your sort of entrepreneur hat on and implement? And what are some of the innovations that have gained some traction and contributed to the success of LNL?
Yeah, that's a great question, and there are a couple things that come to mind. The first one is, you know, I've been, the company was built by entrepreneurs, and to me a lot of that is, you know, duct taping things together.
Mm-hmm.
Entrepreneurs are learning as they go, they're not fully resourced, but they can solve any problem. And so they're just putting pieces together. You know, now that we're in a grow and scale phase, you know, the duct tape is wearing thin. We need a little bit more foundation. We need a little bit more consistency and perhaps a little bit more focus. But how can we still do it in a way that is entrepreneurial? Recently, we've rolled out, not to all our locations, but it'll come soon, prepackaged katsu sauce. You know, I get to speak to a lot of customers, and people come up to me and they say, hey, you know, so-and-so location has the best katsu sauce, or, oh, the other one is too spicy, or this one is, you know, too ketchup-y. And as we grow, especially to different places across the country, we want to make sure we can still deliver an excellent experience to our customer. Making sauce in-house is amazing that we can do that, but it is, you know, sauce is complicated. It's a big recipe. Different folks are making it. So we're really excited. It's not very innovative, but for us, it's a way where we can still bring an excellent quality sauce in a time that we're growing to different places across the country. So I'm excited for that.
No, that's a great, Well, yeah, don't forget the next one. But I was curious. So when you said people will say that, you know, different places have different tastes, do the different franchises kind of make their own? Or you give them a recipe and they make their own?
So we have a standard recipe, but like anyone who cooks, right, you make your tweaks here and there. And then, of course, you think yours is the best, right? So I have 200 people who think their katsu sauce recipe is the best. So we want to have a standard one that makes sure we can deliver to customers all the time.
No, that's great. I mean, that is an innovation that not only takes a well thought out idea, but now you have to implement it and sort of bring all the processes together so that it now kind of shifts into the actual production of one packaged, you know, katsu sauce that then gets distributed all across, you know, the stores. And I think that in and of itself is a great innovation. So Alicia, you were going to say another one?
I have one more, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
This one is kind of technology focused. And, you know, as, you know, value for me, but I think this comes from, again, our entrepreneurial founding, and Jason touched on this before, right? We run these companies not for us, but for our families, for our community, for our team. So as the CEO of this company, I'm always, you know, any decision that we make, any big action that we take, I want everybody to win. I don't need just me to win, my team to win, even just my franchisees. I want everyone involved to win. So one of the things that I thought was very innovative for us was after the Maui wildfires, we had, you know, one of our stores burned down. And that's an individual family that ran that store. They had two locations. One of their locations burned down, and so did their home. And we also had customers. We had this reach across the continent where people wanted to try to participate and help. We have an LNL app, and what we came up with was a purchase a meal program. You know, I wanted my franchisee to be able to stay in business. We wanted to support the community, and we also wanted to give people a way to support the community. So what we did was anyone across the country, and we had so many donations from different states, they could purchase a meal for $10. So that $10 would go to my franchisee, who still needed the income, and they would make a meal, and they would give that meal to somebody in need in the community. So we tried to create this ecosystem where everybody was winning. And we had over $30,000 So over 3,000 meals given to the community and those funds for our franchisees, and we got great feedback from all the folks who could give. So we really love that we were able to be innovative in how we think and find a way where everybody could win and in a way that makes sense for us.
Oh, that's great. No, I really appreciate you sharing this, and I'm hoping that it also comes out in the article that gets published in Hawaii Business, because we never really get to hear about kind of, you know, maybe the innovations that go on inside a company. And I'm really happy that you've shared that with us. Now Jason, now you're the Entrepreneur of the Year. So can you identify some kind of key innovations that you might have implemented that had raised you to the level of, you know, receiving an award?
Sure. I think for my two businesses, 2025-26 are really exciting years in terms of we are taking for Nalo Farms, you know, what was once a 3-acre farm and scaling it up to 63 acres, all aquaponically, and for the purpose of growing food locally, growing food sustainably, and growing food in such size and scale that we actually lower food prices for Hawaii. So to do that, it's almost all technology and innovation on top of historic or standard farming practices, right? Because you're looking for ways within the Hawaii context to drive prices lower, right? And that means scale or some form of mechanization and automation. So I'm proud to report for Nalo, that business is off and running. The scale is occurring. We're still in construction mode, but we've already tripled our production. And that stuff is now available even in our public school system. So we are basically trying to use technology and innovation in order to make food cheaper and more accessible. And it's given that the government just reversed the food pyramid, adding on a lot more fresh vegetables to the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to be scaling vegetable production at that time. On the rum side, it's the same kind of thing, right? We are taking something that we actually manufacture and grow in Hawaii and trying to, let's say, bring aloha to the rest of the world, right? But do so with a world-class product. And so here you're always marrying the latest in science and technology with the constraints or benefits of Hawaii's manufacturing environment. And that requires you to think better in how do I ship, better in how do I manufacture, better in how do I automate, better in how do I farm, all while maintaining world-class quality. So we are constantly in R&D mode at both the companies, studying, you know, competitors, learning to be a fast follower, in some cases, learning to be a leader. In lettuce, we lead in terms of the crops that we try to provide and a lot of what I'll call farm simple automation, meaning that we will make things, but maybe we manufacture them out of simple metal, wood, and PVC before we go ahead and drive up to the stainless steel robotic versions of it. And for the rum company, it's always studying best-in-class techniques and processes, a lot of automation available to the world of distilling now. But you got to be mindful of your craft, right? You got to deliver a world-class product if you're going to be a world-class product. And so you can't use technology at the detriment of the craft, and that's the balance. So it's pretty exciting. There's innovation everywhere, and every day for me and for our teams are really innovation meetings, talking about what did we do right, what did we do wrong, how do we make it better for our company.
You know, I'm kind of curious, Jason, how, Kohana Rum, how do you see yourself scaling? You know, are there some limitations, and how do you see perhaps overcoming some of those? But we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Mele James, president of HVCA, Alicia Flores from LNL Hawaiian Barbecue, and Jason Brand, co-founder of Kohana Rum. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Chaminade University.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Mele James, president of the Hawaii Venture Capital Association, Alicia Flores, CEO of LNL Hawaiian Barbecue, and Jason Brand, co-founder of Kohana Rum. And of course, we're talking about the upcoming Hawaii Venture Capital Entrepreneur Awards. And Jason, you know, your Entrepreneur of the Year Award. And I think, you know, from a sort of distillery standpoint, I mean, what is it that you need to do to perhaps scale to a degree that you can get your product to a bigger market? And maybe you can describe a little bit about what your market currently is.
Yeah. So for Kohana, and so you have a sense of the Hawaii alcohol industry, we're the only alcohol actually grown here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of alcohols, but they're kind of flown in and maybe redistilled, or they're just adding Hawaiian water. We take the hard part. We actually have to grow our ingredients, which is nice because when you drink a bottle of Kohana, you're actually tasting what our aina produces. But to that end, for scale, you know, we started at a quarter acre farm, and now we're coming up on our thousandth acre.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which actually makes us the largest grower of sugarcane in Hawaii and the largest grower of Hawaiian sugarcane in the world. So with that now as a base, and to get there, it took 15 years, right, of farming. We had to farm for almost 3 years before ever making a bottle of rum. But we had to do that in order to provide the ingredients we needed for scale. When we partnered with different local businesses, and in this case, I'll talk about Hawaiian Alaska Airlines, they serve our Mai Tai and our daiquiris on board the planes. Well, then we had to automate in order to feed their volume, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that allowed us to go ahead and bring in fully automated bottling machines. And so we can make over 6,000 bottles a day on a single shift at the distillery, which is a lot of product to go through there. We're now so large from that, we actually have co-bottlers in order to bottle our product. We'll always manufacture ourselves because we've got to control quality. But we are constantly looking for partners in order to help us scale, or we have to buy, acquire, or build other businesses in order to feed our business, because at the end of the day, we're a vertical operation. We control everything from the first ingredient all the way to the packaging.
Wow. That's a great story. And I'm going to look forward to, you know, talking story with you at the Entrepreneur Awards. Alicia, are you looking at expanding? I know, you know, always kind of like the decision to set up shop in another city on the continent is always a huge decision. And how has that gone? And do you see expanding more into other cities, you know, on the continent?
Absolutely. You know, I believe as a company, if you're not growing, you're dying. So, you know, for us, we want to make sure we grow. Last year alone in 2025, we opened 14 new locations in 8 different states.
Wow.
So for us, we're continuing to expand in different states. So, for example, some of the new states we entered into last year was New Mexico, Idaho, and in New York City. So our plan is to grow. I'm hoping that we'll open 30 new locations this year. My big goal for the company, we're at 230 or so right now. I want to get us to 500. We have an awesome product. People love the plate lunch, even if they've never heard of it or they've never been to Hawaii. We have, you know, I'm really proud of the product that we serve, and I've seen a desire from the franchisee side, from people who just want to open a business that they feel very connected to, and also from the end consumer side of just, you know, our product is something that is different from a burger, from a pizza, from chicken tenders, and it fills a need. So I think there's a lot of room for us to grow, and we're still in that scale mode to make sure that we can do it in the right way.
Now, when you select a city to you know, set up shop, do you consider whether they have like a Hawaii, you know, sort of expat population?
We do. You know, the big thing is, do we have a franchisee who wants to open the store?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the franchisee is someone who has strong Hawaii ties. Most likely they were born here and now they live somewhere else. And because of that, they'll have or know of the local Hawaii community in their city. It certainly is our best customer when we can feed somebody who's grown up on LNL and they're just so happy to have us. We need more customers than just that. But we love when that's my favorite, when I hear these stories of people who are out to college or in a new, you know, in a new town, but they could still get their chicken katsu or a local moco.
Well, you're making me hungry. Okay. Now, Mele, so Entrepreneur Awards coming up. I know that to me, I mean, it's probably one of the events that I look forward to every year. And you have it over at the Wailea Country Club, right? And that's nothing different there. So anything you want to share about what's going to be, let's say, showcased at this upcoming one coming up in February?
Well, it's a great event for anyone interested in this space, even if you have a kid that's interested. Want a really positive event where you're just feeling the energy and learning about 27 entities that will be featured that evening. It's a whirlwind program where we're very fast-paced, extremely short videos, but you learn so much and just see all that's happening. And a lot of people think, oh, you know, so hard to do business here. And it is. But we've found some great entrepreneurs and founders and CEOs who are making great strides. And it's just a super positive event and a wonderful way to learn about what's happening, get connected, great networking with all folks that are just really striving and extremely entrepreneurial. We love entrepreneurs. They're positive and continuing to move the needle forward.
What are some of the
we're excited. Yeah.
Well, what are some of the other categories that you want to kind of share? I mean, I know you said some companies, it's like a tech entrepreneur of the year. You got social impact of the year. I mean, what are some of the ones that you want to, shed some light on?
Yeah, we've got Deal of the Year, and that's really how this event got started back in 2000. It's the largest venture capital deal transaction of the year, which is huge. Island Innovator, solving our island's challenges with global ambition. Investor of the Year is another category. Startup Paradise Champion, which, Bert, I know you won quite a few years ago, but that's someone really championing Startup Paradise. We have a Lifetime Achievement Award this year, as well as Agriculture, Clean Tech, Student Entrepreneur. So really celebrating some great students at the university as well as in our high schools. Consumer Packaged Goods. We have a People's Choice, which is really a lot of fun, and that's voting's open right now through Hawaii Business Magazine, where folks get to vote for their favorite startup. So, we've got some awesome categories. I want to make sure to thank American Savings Bank for being, again, our title presenting sponsor for the award.
Well, you know, I'm going to go out and get a loco moco from LNL, and then I'm hoping that Jason brings some rum for some taste testing, you know, over at the Entrepreneur Awards. So that's just a hint, Jason. So, yeah. Mele, where can people find out more about, you know, the Entrepreneur Awards and maybe getting a ticket to attend?
Yeah, so we'd love to have you there. And also, if you're interested in joining HVCA, we host panels and other things throughout the year. But hvca.org is the website. We'll be having the awards Wednesday, January 28th. At Wailea Country Club. So love to have you all join us.
Sounds good. Mele James is the president of the Hawaii Venture Capital Association. Alicia Flores is the CEO of LNL Hawaiian Barbecue. And Jason Brand is the co-founder of Kohana Rum. I want to thank you all for joining me today. And of course, thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll have Guy Kawasaki talk about his new book about Signal. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer, of course, is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.